Get ready. You're about to enter the Renzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the one, the only Remso Republic podcast, broadcasting to you coast from coast from the one and only Commonwealth of Virginia. As always, I'm Remso W. Martinez. Welcome back. Welcome back. You know, I love getting new listeners. I love seeing new people join the Remso Republic Nation private fan group on Facebook. But I got to tell you, my listeners who have been with me since, you know, a year ago, thank you. We do this for you. And I want to give a special shout out to my San Francisco listeners. You know, we've been top trending on iTunes, top charts for news and politics. We have a large, you know, if I were to give you like my concentration of listeners, it's primarily East Coast. We've got, you know, spatters throughout flyover country, but San Francisco is always our number one city, and I don't know why. Maybe you've got some conservatives and libertarians out there that are, you know, out in California, need to hear something a little bit different than what you typically hear and see and everything else. But just want to give a special shout out to our San Francisco listeners. As always, the Remso Republic is part of the Self Defense Radio Network, and here we've got only one thing coming your way. We're trying to make freedom fun again, and with that is talking about all the different ways that people are finding innovative techniques, levels of, you know, getting ideas, getting products, getting services out through a wonderful market that is the internet. Let me tell you, folks, if it weren't for just the freedom to get a mic and, you know, just broadcast my ideas to you through the podcast, through the live show, through the blogs, everything else, think how much more boring the world would be. You know, think how it would be if you only had, like, you know, you could only choose between one band or another. You could only choose between one book or another. The great thing about the internet and the ability for people to go out and actually put their ideas and their products out there in the open market is that now we have such an infinite amount of choices. It's amazing. Now, for those of you that have been on for a while, this won't be new, but for those of you that, you know, maybe this is your first episode. I like to think that every episode is someone's first episode. I am a giant comic book nerd. Love politics, but like a wise man once said, if politics is your life, get away from it. You need a hobby. And comics has been my hobby since I was 8. I'm 22 now. And if you've seen the studio here at the Remso Republic Studio, you see the Adam West statue and the Deadpool and Wolverine stuff and the Kylo Ren lightsaber. I mean, it's part of who I am. It's, you know, we're the clash of punk rock and politics, folks. You got to get some pop culture in somewhere. But, you know, I've been really kind of upset with the way that Marvel Comics is going. You know, DC, I like it. I'm a big Image fan, but, you know, it's really repetitive. And the one thing I've tried to do, and, you know, we'll see this with the Liberty Force comic book, which is out now at libertyforcecomic.com. We're sponsoring that with the Johnny Rocket Launchpad. We've been trying really hard to bring up independent writers, independent artists. We had Matt Battaglia from the Indoctrination comic series back in season one. We had Jamie Sherman with the Voluntarist comic series. And then we had Chuck Dixon, who created Bane, folks. Right there. I mean, come on. Just bam, right in the face of that. We're going to continue, you know, on talking about that because this is something that incredibly fascinates me. And I want to give a spotlight to great creators that are putting out good, fun, awesome content. So I want to go ahead and introduce our guest. He's with the Short Fuse Media Group that's putting out independent comic books. He's a writer that's getting his book throughout there. Maybe you've heard of it, maybe not, but tonight we're going to talk about it. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got Keith Crook, the creator and writer of Night Wasp, the man who is hardly ever afraid. Keith, welcome to the Remso Republic.
Remso, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
It's all good, man. So I got the copy you sent me of Night Wasp. I had an absolute blast reading it. It's funny, it's nostalgic, but most importantly, it's not something I'm typically going to be on shelves. So for people that haven't yet heard of your comic, can you give us kind of like a little synopsis of it?
Well, you mentioned Adam West. The original the Batman series from the 60s was something that kind of inspired me. There's a lot of different things that inspired me, some underground comics like Captain Guts from the 60s. But I loved that Batman show. And so, you know, in an elevator pitch, you know, a comic book that has that kind of sensibility, it's a satire. Most people didn't realize that Batman show was very funny.
Oh, yeah. The 1966 Batman, I love it because it
was hysterical.
Yeah. I mean, even from like a serious look, it was Batman grown up. It's a Batman that, you know, he went past his anger and everything. That's what, you know, I think Adam West said at a comic book convention. He said, if Christian Bale is going to be the Dark Knight, I want to be the Bright Knight because I'm the Batman that grew up. And, you know, it's funny. And that's the thing that I love about your comic, and I loved it about the Batman 1966 series. I loved the Batman Adam West Return of the Caped Crusaders movie that came out about a year ago. But I mean, that's the thing about your comic. Everyone else is going dark. Everyone else is going gritty. But your comic is, I mean, it takes some pretty obvious characters that we see in the mainstream and it makes fun of them. You've got a crazy villain that, I mean, I've never seen a villain like this before. I don't want to spoil too much, but
which one? Because there was a couple in that five book series.
Well, you've got the Weatherman, you've got the Cocktease. I mean, it's just, it's hilarious. But when you're sitting down and you're creating a comic, you know, what was kind of the process like? What was your biggest objective with writing it?
Well, originally in 1992, I wrote a screenplay. And then I ended up going into I got into advertising and I had a successful career in advertising, and my agency closed down a couple of years ago, and I didn't really need to do something that was going to create a lot of money quickly. I could do something that I've always wanted to do. I mean, as a kid, I always wanted to do comic books. Comic books were always my passion. As a kid, I wanted to draw Spider-Man, and just like you, I grew up in a political household. And I love comic books. My dad was a political cartoonist. So there's a connection with cartooning. And when I got to a point in my life, I was like, okay, I don't need to worry about paying the rent. What do I want to do? Comic books. So I took that script and I turned it into five issues with my friend Scott Shaw, who he's a very, very well-known cartoonist. Who we worked together in advertising, doing kids' cereal commercials at Ogilvy & Mather in Los Angeles. And so he broke it down. So the five issues were broken down by Scott. And that's what you see, those first five issues. What's been the most fun has been taking – I've been doing all the scripts now. And I've got all this stuff that's just ready to go. I've got to start getting the first five issues out. So it's time to focus on selling the books before I start to go into production again.
Definitely. And I mean, that's one of those things that's always really it's always the difficult thing. This is the part that really breaks people because they have a great idea. They have a great product, but it's about, you know, how am I going to get people to actually know about it? And when it comes to competing in the comic book industry, it's highly saturated. It's easy to get something created, but it's difficult to actually sell it. What have been kind of like, you know, the pros of being an independent publisher, but also, you know, where are the hangups with it?
Well, you know, if you want to, it's hard to monetize, right? You have to invest a lot of money. It's doing, you know, each comic book is it's going to set you back a couple thousand dollars to do one book. Now you see on a lot of people on Kickstarter are just creating a couple pages and then they're trying to finance a comic book and then have it drawn and whatnot. I've been, you know, because I've been lucky enough that I'm like Bruce Wayne in Batman. I can finance my comic book habit. If you're young and you're trying to start on comic books, you're going to have a way to generate income quickly and subsidize your comic book career. It's like anything else. Like if you want to be a rock star or not, you've got to figure out a way to get out there to promote yourself. You have to pay people to advertise. Like right now you have to, you know, I mean, you're somebody who's pushing yourself. You've got to do that. If you want to be a comic book creator, you've got to go out to the comic cons. You've got to get space. You've got to bring product. That's the way I see it. That you have to get out. I'm going to start going out to the cons in the fall, and really pushing the title. But there are a lot of people that think that the best thing to do is to create a digital presence, Kickstarter, not invest thousands and thousands of dollars.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, you know, comic book people. I mean, you've seen both ways. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and hit our first commercial break, Keith. Folks, hang on tight. You're listening to the Remsor Republic with Keith Kirk, the creator of Night Wasp. Hang on tight. We'll be back in a moment.
Let's make freedom fun again. Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Remsor Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
Hey everyone, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is Liberty. Each week we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty, rock and roll.
Make sure to visit libertarianwingmedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want when you want. Just email alexmerced@alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
Folks, welcome back. We're continuing our conversation from earlier. Keith, I want to kind of dive into the book explicitly because, you know, we talked about, you know, our mutual love for the Adam West Batman series. And that was obviously, you know, as everyone knows, it was a satire of the Batman comics that, you know, were typically not like Adam West. They were very dark. They were very, you know, suspenseful. They were mystery based. With the character of Night Wasp, you know, it is a parody of Batman. In a sense,
right?
I have the book in front of me right now. One of my favorite parts is when he's having a flashback to his childhood, and it's, you know, kind of like, you know, it's basically making fun of the Batman origin story. Instead of him getting shot, you know, I'm sorry, his parents getting shot, you see his father rip off his mother's pearl necklace and give it to the guy that's mugging them. And it's hilarious because I love seeing an interpretation of another character that way. I mean, satire in itself is its own genre, and it's perfect when it's done right. But we've seen it, you know, many times in the past. You know, we've seen it in The Simpsons and South Park. We've seen it in other characters. I mean, even Marvel has tried to rip off Batman a couple of times. In terms of, you know, going the course for the story you did, why did you choose to kind of zone in on a Batman-esque character when you were developing Night Wasp?
I wasn't just trying to do Night Wasp. There's a lot of other peripheral characters. I wanted to be the whole superhero genre. So I tried to pick one character that would be the most obvious character to interact with all the characters. So I thought a character like a Batman character who's very rich and can be the head of the superhero organization because he's got so much money that he can afford to put them up and to subsidize their superhero lifestyle and the politics of being a superhero, all that stuff. I thought that was the best character to be at the center of the parody world. But there's in the next 5 books, there's going to be a lot more. I'm going to be developing a lot more characters.
Definitely. And I'm definitely looking forward to that. But in terms of, you know, just kind of deciding the course you wanted to go, why did you specifically choose to do that? I mean, it's incredibly difficult to create a fresh character from scratch. And I mean, you know, I'm a big Image Comics fan, but you know, when you look at Image Comics in the 90s when they were first coming out, I mean, they had blatant, you know, Wolverine ripoffs and Psylocke ripoffs. Did you think that there was a need for a satire comic? Do you think there wasn't enough already out there? I mean, why did you specifically go route?
I always, you know, before I was doing comic books, trying to write screenplays, I always write stuff that I like, that I enjoy, because I always know the chances are it's never going to get purchased. So the best thing to do is have a great time writing it. So this is what I think is funny. This is, you know, I like the story. This is what I think it would be a good story. It's got, you know, twists and turns, and but it's also it's a parody. I like, you know, the Superman parody, Wonder Man. You know, he's bitter, and the fights between all the superheroes and stuff. It's my taste. This is what I like, what I enjoy. So I hope that other people enjoy it too. But I, you know, I get pleasure out of writing it.
Yeah, definitely. Because if you don't love what you're doing, you obviously need to do something else.
Especially in this field, because there's Image and there's Marvel and there's DC. It's very hard. It's very hard to make it. So enjoy it. Enjoy the journey.
Did you at any point actually like pitch it to one of the major publishers, or did you know you just wanted to have complete creative control in the process and go independently? Or was it better just to go independently than try and, you know, kind of hawk your book at different publishers?
I think that I could, like, at some point I could sell out. Right now I don't want to be under pressure. I think you mentioned this before. You were talking about how stale like comic book stories have gotten, and I think part of it is like a title like Spider-Man. Like when I was a kid, there was one Spider-Man a month, and then, you know, about 20 years ago, I noticed there was about four or five different titles in the same storyline, so that each story was limited to like, you know, a day. Because it had to stay in the same continuity. Whereas when I was a kid, you'd read a, you know, like Spider-Man with Steve Ditko, there would be one page and it would have 12 frames, and four of the frames would be in different cities. You know, the story's really moved along. So anyway, I'm not sure if that answered your question or I just digressed.
But, it definitely, yeah. I mean, it definitely hit the area, but you know, if let's say Marvel came to you or DC or Image came to you and said, "Keith, we want to publish your book," what would you say?
I would definitely consider it. I mean, why, as long as I could do the stories that I want to do, you know, I want to have fun, right? I don't want to, just to be a, you know, just a job. I want to do something that I'm proud of, something that I think is good work. And it'd be, if I can get paid doing something I love, that would be great. But I'm not going to do something that I wouldn't want to put my name on, just because, you know, DC says, "Hey, we'll get it and we'll, you know, we'll run with it."
I hear you. Keith, we're actually going to hit our commercial break for the final segment a little bit earlier than usual because I have a big question I think you're going to like to answer in a little bit. Folks, hang on tight. We'll be back in a minute. The conversation continues after this commercial break.
Hey, it's Jen Gray with the Leading Liberty Podcast, and you're listening to Remso Republic.
Visit RemsoRepublic.com for all available content.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
These hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with a hooker.
It's them yelling at you.
Them yelling at me at Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This large lady with, like, tight clothing on. not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
You pulled over engine trouble and what happened? What happened? I don't know.
Seriously though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out preusspodcast.com for more. That's preusspodcast.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, such as the Alex Mercedcast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Commons is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcast and Logging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to libertarianwingmedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
The New Patriot Manifesto is not just a rehashing of 20 million different books you've probably read before about why liberty matters. The New Patriot Manifesto is exactly the title. It's a new manifesto for the next generation of patriots. How should we look at cybersecurity? The surveillance state? Is the gig economy growing? What about self-defense? Free speech? Things that matter all the time, but they're aimed more towards the next generation of liberty leaders and people that want to take on the challenges of tomorrow. The New Patriot Manifesto comes out November 24th and is written by Eli Bowman. You can go ahead and find it on Facebook to get ready, and you can check out your own copy on Amazon. That's The New Patriot Manifesto by Eli Bowman. Folks, welcome back. We cut to our previous commercial break a little bit early because I want to allow this final question. Well, it might not be the final question, but it's the final big question I have planned. A little bit more space. But, you know, Keith, 20 years ago, you couldn't do what you were doing. You couldn't start a Facebook page to promote your comic. You couldn't meet with, you know, different companies to learn how to print it. You couldn't have the technology to make it as good as possible. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about the internet. It's how I found your comic. It's how I'm going to be able to, you know, buy the, you know, the actual copies, the final cuts that are coming out, because I'm excited to see it in its final glory and everything else. And ultimately, I think it's going to do well. But you mentioned that this was originally a screenplay. You know, with the way that the main publishers are going, everyone's getting a TV show. Everyone's getting a movie. Even when you look at Valiant Comics, they have their own online streaming service where they're bringing out Ninjak and Bloodshot. And I'm too cheap to buy it, so I've been hoping that some of my friends will buy it so I can go ahead and check out those things online. But I'm just curious, because you obviously, you know, have bigger plans for this comic. Do you ever see Night Wasp turning into a full film or a series or something like that?
Yeah, I see it as something like Archer. That would be of all the shows on, that would be, I think, the closest. I don't really see it being live action.
You know what? And folks, I promise you, we did not discuss this beforehand. As I was reading it, the guy that plays the voice of Archer. He's also the dude from Bob's Burgers. I literally heard his voice as I was reading the word bubbles of Night Wasp.
That's so funny.
That is so freaky.
My accountant said that.
That is so freaky.
You okay. And my accountant. If you need an accountant.
But dead serious. Like, yeah, but I mean, like dead freaking serious. That actually put some like, you know, goosebumps on my arm. I heard his voice when doing that. So that's the goal. Are you working towards that? Or, you know, as you keep the comic going, do you think someone else will approach you for something like that?
A bit of both. I think the first thing I had to do was get at least 5 to 10 issues to show that it's like it's not a one idea wonder, that you can take this universe and you can keep doing things with it. Because if you watch a sitcom, you know, there are a couple episodes that are funny, but then they need to bring other characters and whatnot. I think that this the universe that I've created could last, you know, 50, 100 issues. And I think if I was, you know, if I was somebody from FX, I would want to make sure that there were enough stories to justify trying to produce it.
Definitely. Because, you know, we live in like the golden age of nerddom. We're about to see a Deadpool animated series on FXX. We've got Black Lightning getting his own spinoff within the Arrowverse on CW. I mean, this is a great time to be a nerd and to be a comic book fan. And, you know, Keith, I stumbled across your comic because I learned about, you know, Jamie Sherman. And as a libertarian, I have to collect every libertarian thing out there. And he had a libertarian themed comic book. And through looking into Short Fuse, I learned about your book. So in terms of getting out to that audience, because it definitely has that potential, you know, what's kind of the way that you do it? Because, you know, you've got to invest your own money, your own time into this. I know that you have a Facebook fan page for the comic. What's the biggest way that you're trying to get, you know, people to know that this is an actual thing out there?
Well, being on your show.
Beyond me. This will make you great again. This will make Night Wasp great again.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to print out a lot of copies and start going to shows and getting it in front of people who really like – people who are motivated, who love comics and go to comic cons, who want to see new stuff. You know, I think, you know, when people go and when I go with friends, that, you know, people, we like to look for to discover something that you've never seen before. So I think the best thing is to start getting it out there. As far as trying to then pitch it as for another channel, you know, I'll see what happens. Maybe I'll run into somebody at a show, you know, who, you know, make me an offer I can't refuse. I don't know.
Would you ever sell the rights to the character? Because that's typically how the big guys are. That's how the big boys play in this industry. They see something good, and then they're like, what do you want? And we'll give it to you, and you be quiet after that.
Well, you know, that's interesting. You're right, because that's what happens with The Simpsons.
I mean, that's what happens with Stan Lee. That's what happens. Yeah. You know, you look at Bill Finger. Bill Finger wasn't even accredited with being a creator of Batman until he got part of the opening credits of Batman versus Superman. It's difficult to be a creator with a great thing and then try and make it mainstream, because mainstream typically means letting it go.
You know what? I'll have to wrestle with my conscience when it comes to that. But you know, because I might get burned out. There's other stuff that I want to do. I'm just starting to work on a novel, and so there's other stuff that I want to do. So maybe I get to a point after, you know, I do 25, 40 issues, and then I go, you know what, I've got nothing more to say on this. If somebody else wants to take it to the next level, because boy, the Simpsons got so much better over time. So maybe somebody else can then, you know, I can give somebody a foundation and then some really creative minds can come in. That would be great.
Definitely.
I mean, that would be a wonderful to be a part of that would be, you know, a wonderful experience.
definitely. But before we can get there, first we've got to get everything going from the ground up. Keith, if people want to actually buy Night Wasp, they want to follow you on social media and learn more about the comic, how can they do so?
Okay, right now they can go to Facebook and just type in Night Wasp. It's slash Night Wasp fan, but if you just search for Night Wasp, you'll either find me or a bicycle. So it's not the bicycle, it's the superhero. And if you wanted to read Night Wasp right this second, you could go onto Comixology and read it for 99 cents a copy. But I'm going to be – very soon I will be putting out either on Amazon or Indie Planet. I'll be offering printed copies of the graphic novel, which is the 5 issues, or the people can buy each issue separately.
Outstanding. Keith Crook, thank you so much for coming on the program, sir. It's been an absolute blast. I wish you best of luck. And I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what's coming down the road.
Thank you so much.
Not a problem. Folks, we're going to wrap things up tonight. You know, the beautiful thing about the internet is anyone and everyone can get their ideas out there. And, you know, as a nerd, this is the golden age of nerddom. I love the Night Wasp comic. You should totally check it out.
Thank you.
And, you know, folks, if you're another creator out there, you've got something cool, definitely let the page know. Go ahead and email us at remso@remsorepublic.com, and then let's get you on. But in order to get you on, we've got to have a fan base. Go ahead and follow us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, our networks, Auto Radio, Player FM, and everything else you could find at remsorepublic.com/podcast. As always, tune in next week. Be good to your neighbor, treat yourself, and I'll see you when I see you. I'm Remso W. Martinez, folks. Good night, America.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?